the Duluth Rundown episode 35 interview portion with Tina Nelson is coming right up, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro is Duluth's original running specialty store. Run with the best and shop at Austin Jaro for everything that you need running related, whether it be shoes, food, accessories, clothes, watches, or best of all, advice. Definitely go to Austin Jaro's staff, ask them any questions running related, and they are happy to help you out. And thanks for helping us out, Austin Jaro.
Okay, everybody, and we are starting now with the interview section of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We are joined with a name that most of you probably know. Tina Nelson is joining us. And Tina, how are you doing?
I'm good. Foot is in the air.
So let's talk about your foot is in the air. Let's talk about why your foot is in the air and what has happened recently.
I had a surgery yesterday.
Yeah.
Or a palate plate tear, hammer toes, bone spurs, and a bunion.
Jeez.
Fun stuff. So the running is done for a little while for Tina.
Yes, 4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months. But you were still running almost right up to the surgery,
were yeah.
you? Yeah.
Yep.
So that's pretty good that you were still able to kind of get out there and train and run a little bit. And how are you feeling now?
I'm on drugs.
So you're feeling good.
I'm feeling really good. Yep. The block is still working, so I'm good.
It was, what, maybe 24 hours ago, 26 hours
yeah.
ago?
Yeah, about 26 hours ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Tina, was this like a running injury per se, or just what's the situation?
I think originally I hit a rock on Hawks Ridge, that trail, Amity Trail. That's where it originally started. Then a Ragnar Trail. So, yeah, I think that's where the tear happened.
That's the root issue here, is a tear, like a ligament or something, or?
Yeah, it's under my third toe on the ball of my foot.
Ouch. That had to be painful to run on the last.
Yeah, it didn't hurt to run.
Huh.
It doesn't hurt to run. It's when you're done running that it hurts.
Yeah. I know that Ragnar Trail that you guys ran that one time was pretty technical in some spots, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blood.
I remember that story.
Yeah.
How long has that been going on?
The
foot issues, I guess.
2 years for this one particular thing.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I feel like feet are the first to go for me. If I run too much or after a race or something, that's like my weakest link, I think. Foot stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess that's the one that hits the ground, you know?
Yeah. People often say, you know, running's going to ruin your knees, but nobody really has too many knee problems. Maybe a meniscus thing and maybe patella tendon, but those are more just kind of overtraining things. There's no long-term stuff with me very often. It really is more kind of foot stuff, I think. Hip stuff, maybe. Yeah.
I think the shoes that are coming out now have the wider toe base, and that helps, I think, people with bunion and crowding issues.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I think people are starting to learn that. You kind of want... they're learning that more and more. Of course, there's always new runners who haven't figured that out yet. But as a whole, I think the running community, they're getting educated on shoes really well, really quickly, because of websites and things like that. But you need some room up there in that forefoot so your toes can splay out on impact. So, Tina, you said you're done for kind of like 4 to 6 months now. Do you have any plans for when you're able to run again? Like anything like a race you might be able to squeeze in at the end of the year?
Maybe Whistle Stop. That's about that time of year.
Yeah.
My doctor said I can start biking in a month. So maybe I'll bike. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. Biker. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. You gotta get a jump start on your aerobic fitness a little bit,
right?
Before you can start to run. That's a really good plan. And I know what Whistle Stop registration just opened like a couple of days ago or so. So,
okay,
you can sign up now if you want.
Oh, that might be a little aggressive.
That's a long time to kind of go without running. I mean, have you been, laid up with injuries before, Tina? Or
yeah, I had a foot surgery on the same foot. I had a cyst in my bones in my foot. So, yeah.
That foot is taking a beating.
It is. I think we've got it now, though. I think it's good. And we had a really good doctor. So I think this.
And how did it go last time, kind of when you were laid up from running? I mean, did you do cross training? Did you just take a break, or were you really itching to run? Or
the last one was pretty, I think I was only in a boot for a week. It was pretty quick, really quick recovery. Not like this one. This one's going to, you know, I can't even put weight on it yet for 6 to 8 weeks. So it's going to be a totally different recovery.
Yeah.
It's maybe better now when you can't really even sign up for races. You had $1,000 in upcoming races.
Right.
Well, let's go back, Tina, to kind of, well, I'm curious when you started running. I think I met you maybe pushing 10 years ago now. Were you running before then, and when exactly did you start?
The year I joined your group, I kind of played around with running probably a year before that. So it's been 11 years, because my son joined the Navy, and when he went to boot camp is when your group started.
Okay.
So that was my thing. He was going to boot camp and I was joining Tony's group.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Tina's doing something for Tina now.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. That's cool.
What drew you to sign up to the group, or what? Did you just wake up one day, I'm going to start running?
No, I was running a little bit, on my own. And I had a couple of friends, Jesse and Jen and Janelle, all decided to sign up. So we signed up together and joined together. So that was kind of we're all going to run our first half marathon that year together.
That's cool. It was a fun group, you guys.
Yeah,
people that you mentioned specifically, you guys were a lot of fun. That was a really good year too, actually. The whole training group was a blast. Yeah.
It was kind of the goal, like, hey, pals, like, let's all do a half marathon. That was obviously, well, it sounds like your first, Tina.
Yes.
I mean,
first. Yeah.
Had you done even a race before the half marathon, or just let's do a half marathon? Sounds.
I think I did some 5Ks. I mean, yeah, I did a couple of 5Ks. That was a long time ago, and I'm on a lot of drugs, so it's hard to really remember.
Yeah, you are definitely, Tina, our first post-op interview I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
Maybe our last. Who knows?
Right.
I'm kind of curious, like, how you got into it. I mean, when you just started, you know, running with the kind of a, you know, big goal, 13 miles, I can imagine it could be daunting for a lot of people having never, you know, maybe a few 5Ks. I mean, did you like it right away, or was it the accountability of the training group, or what kept you, like, engaged?
Definitely early on? The accountability of the group and the coach. The coach was top notch. You know, I mean, if you have someone helping you and telling you, you know, like every other day, like, we're meeting at this time and this is how we're going to do it, and slow down and, you know, walk if you have to, you know, just had someone that always was there for you. It made a difference.
Definitely.
I think for sure with regards to those groups and the groups that we continue to do, like, there is so much power in training with the group. It's easier. There's like you said, there is that accountability, because your friend's probably going to be there. So you better go there too, because you have to support them and they're going to support you. Right. And just, it makes the training easier. It's just, and that's one thing that we've kind of lost a little bit with the pandemic, is that massive group training. We're able to do it a little bit now with, as the group sizes have gotten a little bigger. But yeah, the power of the group is pretty incredible when it comes to training for something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that first half marathon that you all did, Tina?
It was Grandma's.
Okay.
It was 2000, I don't know, what year is it? So it was 2011?
Yeah. 2011, yeah.
And how did the race go?
I finished.
You got to the starting line and you finished the race.
I couldn't even tell you what, I have no idea how well I did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I would, from what I remember too, though, in the ensuing couple, 3 years from when you started with that group and, you know, going into the 2013 or so, 2014, you got a lot faster too. And then you bumped up to the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that like, just kind of next frontier, here's the next thing? Or was it peer pressure from the group? You know, I know that has an effect sometimes. Or what made you want to try different races?
I think everybody, when you run a half marathon, your next step is a marathon.
Yeah.
And so I always told my husband I was never going to run a marathon. I would never do it. And so he said, well, if you do, we're going to get a divorce. I mean, it's going to be a hot mess. But we're still married. But yeah, it's tough. It's a lot of training, and you know, you're a little bit hot mess when it's your first one. You're not sure what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
My first marathon was Twin Cities, and I ran it with Christine actually. And 6 blocks into the race, there was a guy laying down getting CPR because he was having a heart attack.
Oh my word.
Like, oh boy.
He was like, this is what a marathon's like. Okay.
Yeah, this is what's gonna happen.
Jeez. Oh, that's scary. I hadn't heard that story, Tina.
Yeah, yeah.
You take it one block at a time with Wow. So do you remember when that marathon was? Like, how long did it take you to move from, you know, that first half and to plant the seed, the idea, and then ultimately do TC?
I think it was 2013. Yeah, for 2 years.
Yeah.
That was probably a little too aggressive.
with your foot in the air.
Yeah.
Now Tina's just like, I'm sticking with 5Ks from now on.
Yeah.
Back 5Ks. Sure. Cool. You've done a lot of different types of races too, Tina. I know as we were talking earlier with the foot, you know, running on trails, you've done trail races, all different distances. I mean, do you have a favorite distance or running surface or type of race?
Definitely road. I definitely am a road runner. Most people know that I'm not a huge trail person because there's hills.
Yeah.
I happen to swear at hills.
And the technicality too, I think, is kind of not always your favorite too. Is that right?
Right. I'm way too attention deficit for the trail. You got to pay attention and I just can't do that.
That's how accidents happen.
Yes, they do.
And I guess now 11 years later, I mean, do you have a favorite distance on roads for racing? And I mean, do you feel like you yourself have one that you're better at and a distance that you like better, you know?
Twin Cities 10 for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. That's like the best race ever.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
That 10-mile distance is interesting because, you know, it's not as, it doesn't set you back as far as like a half marathon, but right. Still enough where, you know, you got to train a little bit and, you know, you got to put in the time.
You do, for sure.
How many times have you been down to Twin Cities then, Tina?
Probably 5. I've done the marathon and then I've done the 10 miler, I think 4 or 5 times.
Nice.
Now, you know, after the recovery of your foot and everything, and I mean, just looking way out, do you have any dream races or bucket list items race wise?
No, I just want to be able to run again. That's my goal. Make sure these toes work still.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
Yeah. Take the rest of 2020 kind of as it comes, and then 2021 or 2021, I guess, take 2021 as it comes, and then maybe look at something for 2022.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'd be a good approach.
Plus COVID and everything is kind of pushing everything off. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So in that sense, it's not such a bad time to be injured or down anyway. So.
Right.
Yep.
My goal is to be mobile by grandma so I can at least watch the race, you know, get down there and cheer a couple of my favorite people on.
You can bike down, bike along.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That should be feasible, right? I guess it takes a month till you can put weight on, you said?
2 months.
2 months. Wow. Yeah.
So will you have one of those little knee scooter things? Probably.
Yeah. Yep. I get it Monday. So I'm using crutches right now. And I crawl up the stairs right now. It's really fun.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So in addition to the running that in the racing and the training that you've done in the last decade now, you know, you've been so involved in the local race community, especially with so many volunteering gigs that you've done with NMTC and just lots and lots of other races. Tell us a little bit how that got started and maybe like first time you did volunteer for something. And
I think my first volunteer thing was with Duluth Running Company at like the Gobble Gallop would have been one of my first.
Okay.
You know, I was just helping out there, and then I think it just started getting bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, I'm up the North Shore helping out at John Storkamp's races and out helping at MMTC with you at a couple of aid stations and Wild Duluth and kind of all over the place. It was mostly trail races that I volunteered for. I only got involved with grandma's volunteering 2 years ago. I was a driver for the elites, but otherwise I never really was involved with grandmas or anything, just trail racing.
I swear over the past 5 years, Tina, you're just at every local race in one capacity or another, you know, in Duluth. You're around, you know, every time. It's sweet, you know.
Yep, I'm the loop girl, remember?
That's right.
Vaseline.
Well, it should be said, Tina, you know, you're a huge asset for the community because of the volunteering that you do and your positive attitude. You're always upbeat when you are volunteering at these things, and you know, you definitely cheer people on and make the runners feel good and happy and give them a laugh. And you know, we're thankful to have you in the running community for sure.
Thank you.
So I guess my question, Tina, is, you know, why do you do it? What keeps you coming back to races, or especially on the volunteer aspect? You
know? With trail races, it just always blows my mind that people are able to go as far as they do and push their bodies as hard as they do and like mud and like they do. You just keep coming back because you want to get them through it, you know, and I've met a lot of people from all over, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin, you know, repeat racers that keep coming back, and it's fun.
Yeah, there really is something special about volunteering at an aid station on a big race, like a 50 miler or a 100 miler, and seeing, especially late in the race, and kind of looking at a runner, look them in the eyes and see what they're going through. And
right.
Then you see them leave the aid station and you're like, holy cow, I can't believe they looked terrible coming in. And then they survive a little. It's just amazing what the human body can do. And to be there and kind of witness it is a pretty cool thing. Sure.
Yeah. You're like, are they going to make it the next 8 miles?
Right.
You know, because they came in pretty, you know, pretty beat up. And next thing you know, they pop out of the woods and they're like, let's keep going, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. They just keep going. It's really cool.
Gretchen's the last one I really remember racing. And she kept going.
Yeah. You know, she's good at that. She doesn't stop. That's for sure.
Right.
So, I mean, Tina, Tony and I talk all the time about how it's good to, you know, give back to the running community, and volunteering is one of the most enjoyable, fun ways. And I mean, we like to kind of promote volunteerism and giving back. And so what would you just say to someone who maybe hasn't considered volunteering at an event or what would you tell them to convince them to try it?
I think I have gotten some coworkers that don't even run that have come out and helped me. And I say, you just got to try. It's just a really fun thing. And they know nothing about running and they keep coming back. They love it. You know, like, this really is fun. And just cheering people on and not really even knowing what it's all about. But in the end, they have such a great time.
I think sometimes too, those people get motivated.
Yeah. Yep.
Get motivated to try it themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
A lot of people just don't even know we have a trail system in Duluth, or that there's actually races on the trail system in Duluth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of neat.
Yeah. Duluth is, we talk about this all the time, but it is an incredible athletic and outdoor community.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's really amazing.
Sorry, I'm so wiggly.
I'm kind of curious, Tina, the story. I mean, we've interviewed Bones, you know, and I'm kind of curious how you got to know Bones, and if you could kind of touch on, I guess, yeah, that story, how it all started, you know?
So Bones, I knew Alicia Barno, won for Grandma's Marathons right before Bones. And he was coming, he was going to be at Twin Cities. And I was going to run the Twin Cities 10. So I had messaged him, asked him if he wanted to do lunch. And so he said, sure. So I went to pick him up at the hotel. I was with Kyle, Don, and Sarah. And so we went and met him. And he brought Bones without telling us. So I couldn't understand when Bones introduced himself. He said his name is Boniface. And I couldn't understand it. So I said, can I just call you Bones? And that's how it stuck. And we just went to lunch and spent most of the day together, the seven of us, because Sarah Kiptoo showed up too. And we just had so much fun. I mean, none of us wanted to leave each other, but we all had a race to run the next day. So, yeah. And then we hung out after the race. They got us into the finish line, and Alicia happened to have won it. And then Bones got second. And we just had a great day. So, and that's kind of how it all started. And we exchanged Facebooks, and Bones and I just kept really in touch. He's really easy to talk to. His English is really, really good. So it was easier to talk to him than it was Alicia.
So, did you know Alicia initially from, you said that you helped with the elite car, if I remember right, with Twin Cities 1 year, right?
Yep, that was the last two Grandmas I did. But oh, Alicia, no. I met at the beer tent. My husband and I met him at the beer tent. So I got to
Alicia. That's how it all started, is the beer tent.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Tent. That's funny.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, when Grandma's comes back in town, you started hosting Bones, or?
This coming year, this year?
Yeah, this past year, or yeah, I guess ultimately he ended up staying with you during the pandemic for quite a while, right?
Yeah, for 11 months. He came here after the LA Marathon. He's gonna stay for 3 weeks. He got here March 10th, and the flights went down because he couldn't get back to Kenya. And then he just left on February 12th.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine that's the only story of someone staying, you know, with someone for a brief period of time and then pandemic, you know.
Yeah, we, of course, kept pushing it off and pushing it off, but eventually he had to go back and train for grandma's coming up.
Right.
Yeah, so when will Bones be back in Duluth then? Well, what's his plan? Tell us what his plan is for the rest of the, coming up before grandma's and into grandma's.
He's going to probably come at the end of May, early June. We haven't, he hasn't booked his flight quite yet, but a little bit of a visa issue going on. He's working on a different visa. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So him and Milton are training pretty hard, and Bones has got a little bit of a foot issue, so we'll see where that's going. And
yeah.
You'll be ready to go.
Cool. Very cool. Well, Bones is another guy who, I mean, I think everybody who's listening knows Bones at this point. He definitely kind of ingrained himself into the community and was really embraced by the community. And I know we really miss him. And I'm sure you guys miss him. You and Brian miss him at the house, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, him and Brian did a lot of fun stuff out in the garage. They rebuilt a snowmobile, and he just did so much for us. And just all the three of us, you know, we didn't do anything. We stayed in the garage every night because of the pandemic. So now it's just Brian and I, and it's a little different. Yeah.
That's super cool, though, just the kind of the story, Tina, of how, you know, beer tent and meeting them and staying in touch and, you know, from little Duluth to Kenya, you know, and just lifelong connection, you know, that's very cool.
Yeah, we've talked about that many times, like in this whole world of worlds, how did we ever become friends, you know? Yeah, so it was kind of neat.
Yeah, for sure.
We call him the son. He's, you know, same. My son, so we just call him my son.
So Tina, what else do you have planned then for your recovery process here in the next couple of months before you can get out and bear some weight on the foot?
Gonna do some crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
I have no plan. I know the first 2 weeks I'm not supposed to do anything, so
wow.
I'm just hoping not to eat a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
Tina, do you have any can you remember any, you know, funny or extreme stories? I mean, we spoke earlier about volunteering and just how some of the fun of volunteering at some of these long races is just seeing the intense toil on people. I mean, do you have any fun experiences or funny memories?
They have to be like PG. I remember one time a girl came up to me and asked me to cut her underwear off.
That's right.
Yeah, and we didn't have scissors, so I had to use the knife that we made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't think we can do that anymore with COVID.
Well, I don't know if that's how that spreads anyways, but
yeah, right.
I hope that was the last of the PB&J sandwiches after that too.
Yeah. And I always really enjoyed at the aid stations, well, of course, the lubing, but putting the ice down their shirts or their shorts. You know, that was always quite the fun moment. People didn't care. They were just hot coming out of those.
Yeah, like a Voyager.
Yeah. And sometimes I think people didn't realize what they were doing. Like, they just pulled their shorts out and you put ice down them and off they went.
Yeah. I mean, I hope there is some communication like, hello, excuse me, please put ice down my shorts. Or did that? Is it just to open the waistband and you know what to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Girls have you put it down their shorts. Whatever happens, anything to cool off. They're hot.
Yeah.
You know, those races in the middle of July. So.
I mean, you kind of have to be on your toes for heat stroke and more serious issues in those scenarios, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There was it 2 or 3 years ago? I have no time anymore. At one of the July race, the Colonel or the Voyager, there was a bee issue.
Mm, yeah.
So a lot of people were getting stung. All over the place. I think it was in Fond du Lac and Seven Bridges, and just tons of people were getting stung. So that was a huge thing. You know, we had one guy laying down, like he go by ambulance because he was having a reaction. So there's a lot of times you really have to pay attention to make sure people are still moving appropriately.
Right. And I mean, if they're, I'm sure they'll tell you, I'm good. Or maybe think something more serious is going on. Like, how do you diagnose if they're really okay to go on, you know?
Well, and there's been many times I think people are not, and they keep going. And, or, you know, people tell me, you're good, you're go. You know? And I'm like, I wouldn't have sent them on their way, but and they always seem to finish. There was one guy, he was in the Spear 100 race. And he was an older guy, so, and I know he was well known, but he had fallen and he had mud everywhere. He'd broken his ribs and he finished.
Oh.
And that was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember his name, but he'd broken his ribs.
Wow.
On a fall.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I don't think he knew at that time. So they're tough out there.
What about the opposite, where they're maybe not in really harm's way per se, but just mentally don't want to go on? It's too hard. I mean, have you ever convinced someone to keep going?
I'm not really good at that. Tony's a little better at that than I am. That's usually when Tony takes over and I just go off and give out ice cubes. usually Tony's at my aid station or somebody. That because I don't run that distance, so I don't know the head part of it.
Yeah,
I would be like, get in the truck, let's go.
You want to bail? All right, yeah, I'll drive you back.
Yeah, we're done.
I mean, it's just I know I can remember at Voyager getting to the aid station you're at. Tina, just out on the flat, hard pavement, you know, Munger Trail. She's like, I don't want to keep running, you know, like you stop
right?
Just a minute, you know, and like, I guess, yeah, like a drag, you know.
Yeah. We always had the music going and probably a lot more fun going on than we should have.
Yeah, things got a little crazy sometimes out there.
Yeah.
But it was fun though.
Wild Duluth, where we'd have, you know, we'd be there all night long.
Right.
You know, and have barbecues and fires, and that was fun.
Yeah, where we were at often, that was the first aid station for the 100K and the last aid station for the 100K. So we were there a long, long time, well into the night. And it was a good time, especially if the weather was okay. It could get a little cold, but with the bonfire, that helped. But yeah.
Yeah, plus there's the component of, you know the aid station's coming. Like, I can't let Tina see me half dead like this. So you, like, You look like you're running like perfect form and everything. And
you were in perfect form. You were always a tough one.
And then you look back like they can't see me anymore, and just slump back down.
Start like, walking. Drag
the leg, you know, the bum leg.
Well, Tina, I think we should let you get some rest.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah. Get another nap in. You've probably had one already today, but it's probably time for another one. Get some fluids in. Yeah. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you in a handful of weeks, maybe on the bike and come out with the training group and bike along or something.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Thanks, Tina.
Bye. Have a good afternoon.
All right. And that wraps up episode number 35 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I want to thank our interview guest, Tina Nelson, for joining us fresh out of the operating table. Is a real trooper for joining us on that. So thank you so much, Tina. Also, a big shout out to our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Get all the work those guys do up there in the running community. And also big thanks to Mike for editing this sucker down when it's time to do so. And then it's getting it out so everybody can listen. So thanks, Mike.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think that's a wrap for this episode number 35. But hope to see everyone else out there. And see you soon.